We're going to talk about joy today. We're going to be mainly in the book of Philippians today. Praise God. Lord, we love your word. We love what you do, Lord God, and how you move in these services, God. Yes, joy. Joy is our birthright. Yes, joy. Joy comes from the Lord. Yes, joy. We rejoice in the God of our salvation. We get to rejoice in the God of salvation. We get to rejoice because God is good and he is our joy. He is our joy. If Paul could rejoice while he was literally in a prison, just between two guards, and he was chained, then we can rejoice no matter what situations go on in our lives. Amen? Amen? He, over and over and over, he says to rejoice, to have joy, to take joy. Jesus has told us to take courage. We would do well to listen to the word of truth and to heed this word. Say, I'm going to heed this word. I'm going to follow after this word. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen? Let's open our Bibles to Philippians and chapter 1 of Philippians. Thank you, Father. We love your word and we learn from your word and we just want to be all that you've called us to be, not lacking, not one thing, not one thing. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Father. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy. We ought to pray for one another like that as well, with joy. Making requests for one another. I do that for you. I'm sure that you do that as well for me and for one another. We need to. We're instructed. This is what Paul was saying for this church in Philippi. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Who? The church. The believers. Those that were of the way, right? Always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you with all joy. For your fellowship is in the gospel from the first day until now. Our fellowship, we come together to worship. Our fellowship is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we do. When we have just, we've worshiped, we've prayed, right? We've been a part of this service. You are fellowshipping in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It says, from the first day until now, verse 6, it says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. We are told in the word of God to rejoice because what he has begun in us, he will also finish it. So we have our confidence is in the spirit of the living God. It is not in ourselves. We have confidence in what he has begun. Girls say, what he has begun in me, he will finish. What the Lord has begun. Being confident, verse 6. Look at verse 6. 1:6, being confident of this very thing. That means we get to have our confidence in the Lord, not our strengths, right? Not our strength, not anything else that's going on. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. That means that he's going to finish what he has begun in your marriage, in your relationship with your children, in your businesses, in yourselves, even in just your memories and things that come up. Things come up for all of us, right? Little things, reminders or whatever. But I'll tell you, God says, I'm going to finish what I've begun in you. I will finish it. We need to be people that say, I'm confident in knowing that what he has begun is going to finish. See, the devil wants to tell you the opposite. He wants to tell you it's too far, it's too much, it's never going to, but we know to not listen to the voice of the liar, the accuser. Now, a scripture that goes along with that is 1 Thessalonians. You don't need to turn there. You can if you like. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, he who calls you is faithful. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. I love it because there's no question. When you read the word, you see how confident this word is and how confident we are to be in this word, right? He says here, he who calls you is faithful. He's not second guessing if he's going to be able to finish what he's begun in you. He's faithful. He is faithful. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Will do what? What he has begun. And he's begun a good work in all of us. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Father. So back to Philippians 1 and verse 7. In verse 7, it says, just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. This is how we're to be for one another. I have you in my heart. Inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and the confirmation of the gospel. So it doesn't matter what the external circumstances may be. But in our hearts, we pray. We pray for one another. We pray for the church. We pray for the body of Christ. And it says, for the defense and the confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness at how greatly I long to be with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more. That's why when we say there's always more, that the grace and the love of God would abound. You know, if we don't have love, we have nothing, right? We can pray like the best of them. We can have scripture memorized, and we can stand on the corner and we can proclaim the gospel. But if we don't have love, we have nothing. It's like a sounding gong, right? It's like noise. But here it says, verse 9, and this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and in all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent. There are things that are excellent, and you need to know what they are to approve of them. There are things that are not so excellent, and you need to be able to discern and distinguish between the two of them, right? But it says that your love may abound. When your love abounds, the love of God in you, when the love of God abounds in you, your discernment grows. Have you ever heard when people go, well, how could you love that person? You know, how could you love that person? Well, the love of God is abounding in you. It's only by the love of God. But your discernment grows. Do you see how in the scripture, the love of God that he's given us and then the discernment that he asks us to walk in go hand in hand? The more that you receive the love of God, the greater your discernment grows. That's the conclusion that we can make from that scripture. The more that you receive the love of God, the more your discernment about knowing what that which is excellent, your discernment will grow. I'm going to read it again. It's verse 9. It says, and this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may be able to approve, not God, that you may be able to approve the things that are excellent, knowing the difference, good from evil, good, you know, right from wrong, and what should be done and what shouldn't be done, what should be said, what shouldn't be said. Your discernment will grow as you allow the love of God to grow, to abound in you. Amen. It's so good. And so it says that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere without an offense. That's always where the enemy tries to strike, is that spirit of offense. But it says that you may be sincere without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Amen. So number one, we know that we are to rejoice because what he has begun in us, he's going to finish, right? Amen. Number two, look at verse 12. Because number two, we're told to rejoice constantly. It says, rejoice. What has taken place, it's not going to hinder you. It's not going to hinder you. It's actually going to help you proclaim the gospel. Whatever has taken place, it's not going to hinder. We all have had things that have taken place and continue to take place. But it's not going to hinder you. Let's look at verse 12. And 19. Verse 12 says, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me, this is Paul speaking, and we know he went through a lot of things. He says, I want you to know the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. The things that have happened to me, there was a turn at the very end. Everyone thought, oh, that was over. That was written. We saw the writing on the wall. Really? You didn't, because God flipped it. He flipped the script. He's like flipping the switch, right? It turned the whole situation around. Actually, what took place, you didn't stay long enough. You thought that it was over. You thought it was done. You didn't stay to the end. You guys following what I'm saying? Some people wrote you off a long time ago. They should have stayed to the end, because God's about ready to rewrite that script and flip that switch, and they are clueless. Amen. So, verse 13 says, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard. It has become evident that which was meant to hinder you has actually turned out for your deliverance, so that you preach the gospel with power, that you preach the gospel with boldness, so that you don't take the enemy's assignment and just live with it. You instead know the better way, and you walk in it in Christ. He says, actually, so that has become evident to the whole palace guard. Who's the palace guard? Your enemies. Who's the palace guard? Your opposers. Who's the palace guard? Those that wanted to keep you confined. Palace guard is known. It's become evident. It's become evident to those that thought they could write you off. It's become evident to the palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. If there be any chain upon them, it's just the chains of Christ. They belong to him. They have been given over as bond servants in Christ. These chains give us victory and glory. There's no handicap here. Are we following? The chains that we have in Christ are victorious. Freedom is in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident in my chains, when I see what you go through and that you stand firm in Christ, it gives me confidence.
I could not wait to share this news with you all. The Lord is doing incredible things at this ministry, and it is because of partnership with each and every one of you. You know, just a few quick testimonies, but we've got testimonies of people getting saved, rededicating their lives to the Lord, people coming off of addiction, all types of addiction, people getting healed physically. I am telling you, the power of God is present in this ministry. And I just wanted to say, you know what? You are a part of what God is doing. This is a kingdom-minded ministry. So every seed that you sow, I want you to know with every fiber of your being that you are planting in good soil. So thank you for your partnership as we continue to reach the souls for Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's get back into the Word.
When somebody watches your walk, your testimony, and they see that no matter what, you don't give up, it gives somebody else confidence. They see it. Your testimony speaks. Our lives speak. This is what he was saying. He says here, yes, chains are in Christ. And it goes on, and he says, and most of all, verse 14, and most of the brethren of the Lord, having become confident by my chains. Because no matter what comes against you, you're going to rejoice in the God of your salvation. That's what we're instructed to do. And so therefore, other people can have the confidence in seeing your life glorifying God. And it builds faith. And it says, and much more bold to speak the word without fear. So whatever has taken place is not going to hinder you. Instead, it's going to help you proclaim the gospel. Did you see what verse 12? I'm going to reread 12, and then I'm going to read 19. 12, it says, but I want you to know, brethren. Sometimes you just got to speak this to yourself. Self, I want you to know this. Self, I want you to know this. That the things that have happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. So be it. Praise God. Glory be unto the King. Glory be unto the King. Look, jump down to verse 19, because they go hand in hand. Says, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the supply of the Spirit in Jesus Christ. I know this is going to turn out for my deliverance. This is going to turn out for my well-being. This is going to turn out for my confidence. This is going to turn out to answered prayers. I know that I know. There's no doubt. There's no question mark. Because we don't have a question mark upon the Word of God and His ability to carry it out, right? Any question mark might be in your ability, right? But we diffuse that right now, because it's not our ability that's going to solve this. It's all of Christ's ability. So there is no question mark. There should be no question mark, correct? So whatever has taken place, say it with me, whatever has taken place, it's not going to hinder me. No, actually, it's going to help me proclaim the gospel. It's going to help me be more bold. It's going to help me know how to pray. It's going to help me how to be that tenacious, vibrant, victorious one to pull others out of that pit. That's what's happening. That's what's happening. Glory to God. Rejoice, church. We're going to rejoice. God is moving through you by His Spirit to strengthen and to encourage you. Girls, they have handouts. The kids, sorry, all kids, they have handouts. And so we're on point three. Point three, rejoice. God is moving through you, through us, by His Spirit to strengthen and to encourage us. Look at Philippians 2 and 13. Well, I'm going to start at 12, though. Says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only. This is not just a church service thing only, or only when I'm around my Christian friends. No, always. Transparent, day by day, moment by moment. This is who we are, because it's what Christ has done in and through us. So our walk should always be consistent. Our walk should be consistent. So it says, not just in my presence only, but how much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Verse 13, For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. It is God who works in us, if you let him, to work in you for his good will, for his pleasure, right? We all say we want the will of God. Well, God's going to help you accomplish the will of God. If you yield to him, he will help you. I love that because he tells us what he wants of us and from us, but then he also equips us to carry it out if we would just partner with him. So there is no striving in Christ. There shouldn't be. There shouldn't be the striving. I'm trying to let the will of God be done in my life, but I'm trying to let the will, you know, but you're trying in your flesh, you know. We've all been there, you know, but we get to learn how to, instead, it's like, okay, but you said you will work in me to both will and do according to your good pleasure. So Lord, I yield myself to you that you work through me so that the very thing that I know you want me to do, like not going back to addiction, right? Just as an example, right? The very thing that he wants, then I yield to him and say, Lord, your will be done in and through me. I yield myself, my own will to you. And you know, that might be something you might have to say over and over until you get the victory. You have to just say it over and over. It's okay. It's good. Say it's good. Paul said it's not tedious for me to repeat the word over and over. It's actually for your benefit, right? So why would it be any different for us to repeat the word over ourselves? It wouldn't be any different. We need to hear it over and over, right? For those that teach, teachers in the house, right? Like, don't we repeat in order to get the kids to remember the things that we want them to learn? Repetition, right? That's a key way of learning. We repeat. We get to repeat these things and let our spirit man hear them over and over and over so that we know. The enemy always wants to put you in forgetfulness. The enemy always wants to lie to you and twist, and you work on your emotions if he can. But if we are faithful to repeat this word and stay faithful to it, God will always be faithful to us. And he will equip us. He will strengthen. He will help us. So his spirit is moving through us to strengthen us and to encourage us. Do we need encouragement sometimes? 100%. All of us do, right? But the Lord is our strength, and he is the great encourager. He's the greatest encourager. And Ephesians 3:20, I'll read it to you, but Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ever ask or imagine, more than you can imagine, more than you can ask. He said, I'm going to give you more. I'm going to do more. More immeasurably, immeasurably. You can't measure it. There is no measurement big enough, wide enough, deep enough to be able to contain what God wants to do in your lives. That's what immeasurable. It's immeasurably more than we ask or imagine according to his power that works in us. I love it. We're not powerless. He tells us to rejoice because we know something. We're not powerless. We're not powerless a lot. We're filled with dunamis power. Zara, Abigail, Julia, Joseph, Raylan, we are filled with dunamis power. We're filled with the Spirit of the living God. You're filled with the Spirit of the living God to empower, to equip you, to strengthen you, to encourage you, and to speak truth so that you hear it, so then you go forth and speak it as well to others. Because we don't let anybody despise us according to our youth. Age has nothing to do with it. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. That's right. Amen. Amen, crowd. I love it. I love that. Thank you, Lord. Boldness of the Lord. Philippians 3. Let's look at number 4 for those that have handouts. Rejoice. Yes, we rejoice knowing that our joy is knowing is in knowing him and being known and loved by him. Knowing that our joy is being known by him and being loved by him, knowing who we are in Christ. You know, it doesn't matter how old you are. We always need to be reminded of this. We always need to be reminded of this. Let's look at Philippians 3:20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Goes on to say, who will transform our lowly bodies that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. So we rejoice, and our joy is in knowing him, just knowing him. Knowing Jesus is our joy. Knowing his word is our joy. It brings joy to us. When we read his word and we get to know him more and more by his spirit, it brings joy to us because we know that every single promise of God is ours. It's yes and amen, right? So knowing Jesus is our joy, but not just that. Being known by him and being loved by him, knowing that he knows us, loves us, created us, fashioned and formed us when we were in our mother's womb, knew us even before our mother's womb, and called us and chose us before the foundation of the earth, knowing that he loves us, knowing that he has chosen us, knowing that we are known, accepted, and loved by our maker is joy in us. It creates, it should create this feeling of, it doesn't matter what anybody else says, thinks, feels, understands, believes, it doesn't matter. If it doesn't line up with what he's already said, it really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what anybody could say, do, as spiteful as it might be. We center ourselves in Christ. We remember who we are in Christ Jesus. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Number five. It's summer, so I got the kids here, so I'm like trying to make it a little easier for them to follow along. Amen? So number five, rejoice. It constantly, the word, this book in Philippians, you know, the book of Philippians, the whole thing is about joy. The whole thing is about joy in our birthright, joy in our salvation, joy in a difficult circumstance, joy, 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 joy. I mean, it's all about joy, about walking in the joy of God, a joy of the Lord, amen? So it is our birthright, for sure. So joy comes from knowing your eternal place is with him in eternity. Joy. So basically salvation, joy comes from knowing that this isn't our home, we're passing through. We get to pass through. We're on our way. Say, I'm on my way and I'm going to get there. Yes. So there's a joy that comes forth from that. There is a joy. Yes. Amen. Thank you, Father. And that's the Philippians 3:20 that I just read. Amen. Four and 13. You know, Philippians is such a short little book, four chapters. I encourage you to read it and to just focus on it for a little bit because it's, there's so many key scriptures. I just went through and just did like a highlight of the four chapters and just pulled out just a few scriptures to focus on. But this is it's a packed book of how we're to walk and how we're to walk in the joy of the Lord. So God is your strength. We're going to rejoice because he is our strength. His joy is our strength, right? So therefore, nothing is impossible with him. Philippians 4:13. Who can say it for me? Yeah, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? Amen? I can do all things through Christ. So he's called you, each and every one of you, he's called you for a task, for a certain task, for a certain thing that he's called you to do, but you're going to do that very thing through the Spirit of the living God who strengthens you. Philippians 4:13, praise you, Jesus, hallelujah. But I'm going to back up, and I'm going to read a little bit before that. Let's see, where do I want to start from here? I'm going to start at verse 9. It says, so Philippians 4 and 9. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these things do. Paul speaking to the church. He says, the things that you saw. You know, he says, follow me as I follow Christ, right? So the things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. Do these things. And it says, the God of peace will be with you. Because when we walk according to the word, the peace of God sustains us. Amen. Then verse 10 says, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last, it says, your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned, and I love this, for I have learned in whatever state I am in. Have we learned this? Whatever state, whatever condition, whatever heartache we might be in, it says, I have learned. So therefore, we know that this is a learned thing. We know that there's a process, and everyone is at a different place in the process, but we need to keep moving forward. It says, Paul says, I have learned in whatever state I am in whatever difficulty is coming my way, I have learned something. We're all going to go through some things, but have you learned something? in that which you've gone through. He says, I have learned in whatever state I am in to be content, because we choose joy. That's what it is, choosing joy in the midst of heartache. He says, I have learned in whatever state I am in to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. I know, you know, when there's a lot, when there's a little, when it's difficult, when it's easy. I know no matter what circumstance, no matter what state I am in, I've learned to be content. And we get to learn that too. And I think that is a lifelong thing. We continue to learn in a deeper way. I believe that we continue to learn this in a deeper way. And it's good. He says, everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry. And know that it's good. It's okay. It's good. Why? Because the Spirit of God lives on the inside of us. So we're never alone. So it says to be full, to be hungry, both to, it says to abound and to suffer need. All of that comes before the scripture that, you know, most people, a lot of people have memorized. All that I just read is the context of I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When we know the backstory, it gives it a little bit more light. It gives it a little bit more understanding what he was talking about. It's not, well, I can just learn a new skill. Of course it includes that. But he's talking about some pretty difficult situations that you can still and should still shine forth the light of Christ and know that no matter what state you will find your contentment in Christ Jesus. No matter what, you will find your joy. And joy is Christ. Jesus is joy. Joy in Christ is your strength. So when you have joy, you have strength. When you don't have joy, the joy of Christ, you do not have the strength. Have any of you witnessed that? Have any of you seen that in your own life? There's no joy at the moment. There's also no strength. It's like you're flat. It's like there's just like the joy of God. Everything has just been removed. You know, there's no hope. There's just this heavy weight, right? But when we walk in the joy of God, even though nothing else has changed externally, we just choose joy. We walk in the joy of God. We choose to put on Christ. We choose joy. It's like things change. Why? Internally they change because we know Jesus is our joy and our joy in him is our strength. So no matter what, we get to learn how to be content by choosing joy. Yes, amen. We get to learn how to be content by choosing joy, no matter what. Praise God. And number seven, rejoice because your heavenly Father takes care of all of your needs. Philippians 4:19. We know this because we say this all the time. We pray this all the time. And my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus, right? Our God is going to supply. He's the great and faithful supplier. And my God, verse 19, shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. He shall supply. Father, we know that all things work together for good for those that love God and for those that are called according to his purposes. We know what your word decrees. In Romans 8:28, we know, Father God, that we stand firm on this word that no matter what's going on, it's going to work together for our good, for his glory, no matter what, because we love God, because we love him, because we're submitted and surrendered to the King of Kings, the lover of our souls. And when you pray and you pray from the word and you pray from a position of faith, and you pray from a position of, you know, I choose joy even though things are difficult and I'd rather just not. I'd rather just, you know, just not. I'd rather just cry or I'd rather be upset. But I'm going to choose joy. It's a choice. Church, it's a choice before it actually becomes something that, you know, like springs up. But if you choose joy, it will spring up. If you choose to focus on truth, Jesus is truth, his word is truth, that joy will start to spring up. It will make no sense. You'll be like, you know, but we know. It'll just spring up. Why? Because we're following after the pattern that God has set out in his word. We, as believers, really have the potential to be the happiest people. The most happiest people on the face of this earth because of who we carry, because of whom we serve. We serve Christ. We serve Christ. We serve him with everything within us, day by day and moment by moment. And when you get it wrong, you just confess it and you pick back up and you start again. Don't let the devil beat you up when you're like, I messed up. Well, repent and get back up. Yes. Right? And so I do encourage you guys to read through this chapter, or these four chapters, because it's very, very short, but you will gain so much out of it as you just meditate on choosing joy. He wants us to be the people that will walk in the joy of the Lord. And the joy of the Lord is like I was saying before, is knowing who we are in Christ, knowing that he has taken care of our every need, our every breath, our every circumstance, our children and grandchildren, those things, people that you pray and believe, parents, right, spouses. He is faithful. He will take care of it all. And we will see the fruit of righteousness coming forth from our lives. Father, I thank you for this word today. And I thank you that we get to choose joy. No matter what, we choose to rejoice. We rejoice. Before we see the manifestation of joy, we must rejoice. There's an action that needs to take place before the presence of joy can be seen. So we choose to rejoice in you. We choose to rejoice in your faithfulness. We choose to rejoice in the strong hand of the Lord, the righteous hand of the Lord. We choose to rejoice that your eyes are upon us. We choose to rejoice in knowing that you are taking care of us, well taken care. We are well taken care of by the Spirit of God. We choose to rejoice. We rejoice in the God of our salvation. We rejoice that we're called by your name. We rejoice, oh God, in what you're doing. We rejoice that you've given us breath and to breathe another day, to live another day, to rejoice in you another day. We choose to rejoice that, Lord God, we are not where we were yesterday. We are not where we were days ago or years ago. Lord, you have moved us along, Lord God, and we are going forward in your will, and we will accomplish the fullness of God. We will, because we choose to rejoice in the God of our salvation. Amen.